Today's year, the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Ayin Vav. We begin in the middle of the Daf at the brand new Mishnah. We continue to learn for the safety of all of the Kochos Tzal and Bitochon and all of the Hatzolah members. Everybody in Klai Yisrael should be safe. Hashem should protect us all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give a Refuah Shleima to all those still in need of a Refuah Shleima, to give Nechama to those Nebuch that have suffered tremendous losses and tragedies, and be Ezra Hashem to return the Shvuyu to us healthy and safe, Ben Hera. We pick up at the brand new Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, Hanosei Isha Kohenis. If a man wants to go and marry a woman who is the Bas Kohen, we'll see in a moment that there's a slightly different din. If this is a woman who is a Leviah or Yisraelis, that's why it mentions specifically over here a Bas Kohen. And again, we're interested over here in lineages. We're interested in the purity of the lineages. So there's a machlokus over here between Rashi and the other Mefarshim as to what type of a person we're talking about. Meaning, are we dealing over here with any person, any Jewish person, and we're just interested in saying, is this woman of a proper lineage for a regular person to marry? She's not a mamzeres, she doesn't come from any other psulim that even a regular person in Klai Yisrael is allowed to marry. And that's what Rashi says is we're dealing over here in the first part. When we're talking a little bit later on, then we're dealing with specifically a Kohen. Other Mefarshim say, no, we're dealing here just with the Kohen throughout, and that the purpose is to make sure that the man is not marrying somebody that is not Reuya to marry into the Kuna. She's a Halala or she's Psula for other reasons to marry into the Kuna. In any event, that's what you'll see. I'm having a handout that will be attached to the Shia that is an oldie and a goodie. This is originally when I first gave this Shia back in Zayin Adar Tovshin Nun Dalet almost 30 years ago. So the handout is still a good handout and it's hopefully helpful to understand the relationships that we're talking about over here, how far you have to go back and check. In any event, whether we're talking about a Kohen checking out to see if the woman is Psula Lakuna, or we're talking about a regular Yisrael checking out to see whether this woman is Reuya to marry a regular Yisrael, she's not a Mamzeres, etc., that we can leave for another time to discuss. Right now, we're just looking into what type of potential, how many generations back you have to go see what type of potential blemishes this woman, who is the potential Kala, has. She's the woman under investigation that I have in my sheet. Okay, so if a man is going to check out a woman who is a Bas Kohen, then you have to only check out several generations, as opposed to if it's a Levi or Yisraelis, we have to check out additional generations, as you'll see in a second. So the Mishnah tells us, Sarich livdoch acharia arba imos shehein shmona. He has to go and check out four women, and then the mothers of those four women, which is therefore a total of eight women altogether. Who are these four women and their mothers? So you look at my diagram and I label them clearly. Again, all you have to do is click on the link on the YU Torah and you'll be able to go and see the diagram. If you can't, you'll still be able to follow along with what I'm saying. In any event, the first two women, the woman that we're saying and her mother, are Ima the Amima. If you look at my diagram, so the mother, that's simple. The woman under investigation, her mother, that's number one. And then her maternal grandmother, her mother's mother, that's woman number two. So that's the first two, the primary one, the mother and her mother, which is number two, Amima. Then the next group is the Aim Avi Ima, the Ima. This is now going up on her mother's side, looking not at her mother's mother, but at her mother's father's mother. What I would say is her maternal great-grandmother from her grandfather's side. So again, if you look at my diagram, now we're going up to the woman who's labeled as woman number three. That's the primary one over here, the Aim of the Ima, and then the Ima and her mother as well. And that is the woman who's labeled as number four. That's the maternal great-grandmother from the grandfather's side's mother. So again, you can see it much more clearly when you have the diagram in front of you. You don't have to try to picture this all in your mind, but you see that this is basically, you're going up first to the mother stage, then you're going up to the grandmother stage. Obviously, there's only one grandmother on the mother's side. The grandmother from the father's side we'll talk about momentarily. Then you're going up to the next generation after that. So you're going up to the great-grandmother stage, and then you're going up to the great-great-grandmother stage, all on the maternal side of the woman. Now, those are the first four that we're dealing with, two that are two more. And then you have the next group, which is going to be numbers five and six, now going up the aim Aviha, going up on her father's side, you're talking about the woman's father's mother, her paternal grandmother, that's the woman who's marked as number 5, and then her mother, that's the secondary one, that is number 6, that's the mother of the paternal grandmother. That's number 6. The word grandmother didn't come out so clearly, I think, on the diagram as I'm looking at it. But that's number 6, is the mother of the paternal grandmother. So that's 5 and 6. That's the third of the 4 groups that we're going to be talking about. And then finally, the fourth of the 4 groups, the 4 that are really 8, that's the last group is Ve'em Avi Oviha Ve'imah. Now you go up to number 7. That is the father's father's mother. So it's the mother of the paternal grandfather. And then you go up to her mother. That's number 8. That's the mother of the paternal grandfather. So there you have the second of this last group of 4. So you have 4 primary ones and their mothers. So it's 1 plus number 2, 3 plus number 4, 5 plus number 6, and 7 plus number 8. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. Tzarech livdok, you have to check out to make sure each of those women has a pure lineage. Arba imos, which is really 8, Shehen Shmona. Now, that's when you're going to marry a Bas Kohen. If you're going to marry a Bas Levi or a Bas Yisrael, what we refer to as a Levio of Yisraelis, there are different Girsos over here. Some say Levio of Yisraelis, others, as you see on the Masoros HaShas, just say Levium of Yisraelim, but it means the same thing. When you're going to marry a woman who doesn't have already a certain status by being in a Kohen's family, so then you got to go check out an additional generation. Levi of Yisraelis, Mosifin Aleim Od Echad. So every one of the second of the first 4 that we gave, so the even numbers 2, 4, 6, and 8, you'll have to go check out their mothers as well, as you can see on the diagram. So the mother of number 2, we call now number 9, because we already used up the numbers 1 through 8. So here now we have adding on one generation to each of the second ones. So number 2's mother, which is number 9. Number 4's mother, which is number 10, as you can see on the diagram. Then you can have number 6's mother, which is going to be number 11 on the diagram, and number 8's mother, which is going to be number 12 on the diagram. So you're checking to the great, great, great grandmother level on both the mother's side and on the father's side. And again, because you have the different parents, the mother and the father, on the grandparent level, that's why you're going to have more going up higher in the generations. So you're checking it out to a total of 5 generations. So again, some of the mother level, some of the grandmother level, some of the great-grandmother level. And then you have even on the great-great-grandmother level and on the great-great-great-grandmother level, you're going to check them out. That's a total of 12 because we added on 4 on to the first 8 that we have. In fact, the Gemara will have an additional 4 that you might have to add on, and we'll wait till we get to the Gemara to discuss that. In any event, the Mishnah continues and says there are certain situations where you can stop checking. So let's say you've shown that number 2 is good, then you wouldn't have to go check number 9. If you've shown that number 5 is good, you wouldn't have to go check number 6 and 11, etc., etc. When you've reached a certain status of that person, you can guarantee that their lineage is good. You don't have to go check anymore. What do we mean by that? In Bolkin, you don't have to go check further. Once you find somebody that has a husband that has served min hamizbeach ulamala. So in Bolkin, lo min hamizbeach ulamala. If you know that the woman that you're investigating was married to a person who was a Kohen, who brought korbanos on the Mizbeach, so they checked out her Yichus already. And the fact that this Kohen was allowed to still go and work in the Beis HaMikdash, that demonstrates that this woman's lineage is pure, and you don't have to go check it out any further. So if you have documented evidence that the husband of any one of these women had worked as a Kohen in the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash, so then you don't have to check anymore. That person's Yichus is fine. So for argument's sake, if you knew that the woman under investigation's father was a Kohen who worked in the Mizbeach, that's it. You don't have to check anymore on this woman's lineage because you know that number 1 is good and therefore everything is fine. If on the other hand, you knew that number 2 had been good, the maternal grandfather had been perfectly good, so then you don't have to check further from that point in on. Because again, the Gemara will tell us that if a person had worked on the Mizbeach, they were a Kohen who worked doing Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, so then they were already checked out. So therefore, you don't have to go check them out again. Likewise, v'lo min haduchan ulamala. If you knew that the person was the husband of the woman in question that you have to investigate was a Levi who had worked in the Beis HaMikdash as a Levi. They checked out the Levim as well to make sure that they were pure lineage. And therefore, if you knew that they had been up to the duchen, like what we call duchening, if you knew that they had performed in the Beis HaMikdash, so then you don't have to check anybody higher up in her lineage, you know that that person is had been checked out already, and therefore she is fine, and the people above her are fine as well. Likewise, v'lo minas Sanhedrin l'mala, if somebody served on the Sanhedrin of 23 or the Sanhedrin of 70, 71, so then obviously that person had been checked out as well. And therefore, once you find out that the woman's in question who you're investigating's mother, grandmother, etc., that person that we're investigating had a husband who had worked on the Sanhedrin, so he had already been checked out. So therefore, you don't have to go check out the woman again. Likewise, v'kol shehuchsuku avosav mishotrei harabim, if the Gemara will explain, Rashi can be found on Ayinvov Omud Beis, if the person who was the husband of the woman that you're investigating, the generations that you're going to investigate, so Rashi, in the middle of Ayinvov Omud Beis, tells us that this is dayanim bi'alma. This is a regular dayan in financial matters. She'enon miminyan, they're not those judges of the 23 course, so Sanhedrin Katana. So this is a regular judge in a basin of three. So if they had been appointed to be a judge in a basin of three, they also had been checked out. They only took, as we'll see in Yerushalayim, judges of a high yichastikas stature. So therefore, if you knew that the husband of the woman that you're investigating had been a judge in a court of even three and based in, so then you didn't have to check any further. Likewise, if he was of a gabbai tztaka, if the husband of the woman that you're investigating had been a gabbai tztaka, so more will explain that since they would get into fights with people, people were always questioning them. So if there had been any psul in their lineage, it would have come out. Since the gabbai tztaka is a thankless job, so therefore, if there had been any psul, it would have come up in fights when people would have had with the gabbai tztaka. Why don't you give me more money? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Ah, you must be. And they would express the psul in their lineage in anger. So therefore, if there was no known psul about a gabbai tztaka, then one would say, therefore, they'd also been, quote, investigated, and you don't have to go investigate anymore. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, in all of these situations, may see in Likuhuna, the Ein Tzorch Livdoch Acharim. You don't have to check anymore, as I just said. Now, Rav Yossi Omer, Rav Yossi says, likewise, another one, Af Misha Yochosum. Now, the Girsa that we have is Eid Biarke Hayeshona Shol Tzipori. According to the Girsa that we have, Rav Yossi is telling us, if you were allowed to be a witness in the courts, Biarke means in the courts of Hayeshona, Yeshona is the name of a place that was near Tzipori, so if you were allowed to be a witness in the courts of Yeshana that was near the city of Tzipori, so they only accepted people to be witnesses on a document there who had a pure lineage. So Rav Yossi says, likewise, in that situation, you don't have to go check any further up in that woman's lineage. If her husband had been an accepted witness on a document, you know that he was of pure lineage. Rashi doesn't have the gears over here of A. He just says, Af mi shahaya chosum ba'arke Yeshana shol Tzipori. So according to Rashi, we're dealing over here with a person who was a chosum b'sidrei hadayonim. He was just listed as one of the judges in those courts, so they were very careful there as well about yichus. So therefore, if you were listed on one of those documents as a judge, or the first version that we have with the word aid, as a witness, so then you were clear as well in terms of your yichus. Finally, the Mishnah concludes with Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. He added on an additional woman that doesn't need to be checked out. Omer, he says, Ap mishoyo muchtov bisratya shel melech. If a woman was included in the istaratya of the king, now what is that? The Gemara will explain. This is on the chayolos of Beis David. This is including in the army of Beis David. They only accepted in his army people of superior lineage because they wanted to make sure that there were no pagans, there were no blemishes in the people that would in any way cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to give them a success in battle, as the Gemara will explain. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos adds this qualification as well, that you don't have to check any furthermore if they were in the army of David HaMelech, b'istaratya shel melech, so then they don't need further checking of their yichus. Okay, so we gave a whole bunch of ideas here in the Mishnah. The Gemara is now going to start off and ask us, how come we're only checking on the mother's side? If you notice, we're only checking all the mothers over here. Maishnor b'noshe batkinan, or maishnor b'garvid lo batku. Why aren't we checking out the men? Seems to be very one-sided over here, that we're only checking out all the women, the 8 women, the 12 women, we'll see the 16 women, they're all women. Why aren't we checking out the men? So the Gemara gives us an interesting psychological insight. The Gemara says, it's not an absolute halacha. These are all additional stringencies that the rabbis put into place. And why did they put these stringencies into place and not require a checking out of the father? Because Nashe, women, when women get into fights with each other, this is the most important thing for Chai Yisrael right now, in this time of Eis Tzara, that we be united. And there is a tremendous Achdus in Yisrael. You have people who aren't working in Tzal for whatever their reasons, so they're helping out the people in Tzal in other ways. We here in Chutz Laaretz Nebuch, many of us people have sent their children, their grandchildren, and are fighting in various forces in Eretz Yisrael to protect Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Medina Yisrael. So what we can do, we also have our jobs to do. So everybody has a job, and that's Achdus, that's davening, financially supporting and helping out in Eretz Yisrael. So Nebuch, when we have quarrels, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and that causes sorrows for Klal Yisrael. But Nebuch, that's human nature. So Nashe, the women, when they fight with each other, the Chiminsu Ba'adei Adadei, Nebuch, if women are having a fight with each other, you know what they insult each other with? You know what they diss each other with? Barayas Hu Deminsu. When they fight, they say, oh yeah, I know, you Nebuch, you sleep around, oh, you had an adulterous relationship with so-and-so, oh, you did this when you were a Penuya. So they put each other down, Rachmana L'Tzlan. Again, the Gemara is not saying this is proper. The Gemara is just saying this is the way of women. When they fight, when they accuse each other of belittling the other one, so they accuse him in regards to immorality. Barayasu d'minsu. But not necessarily a psul in the lineage. And therefore, if there was an impure lineage, so that wouldn't necessarily be known. So by the women, you have to go and check it out, because they're not going to be accusing each other of impure lineages. However, by men, Gavre, when men fight, when men fight with each other, they go and attack them. And say, oh, you're a slave. Oh, you're a mamzer. So that's the type of attack that men use. And therefore, if there was in fact some blemish, some pagam in the man, everybody would know about it. So you don't have to check it out. So by the men, their blemishes are well publicized. By the women, their blemishes are not well publicized. And therefore, you have to check out the women to make sure there is no pagam in their lineage. Whereas by the men, it would be well known if there was a pagam in the lineage. That's an interesting psychological insight in the way people fight. Okay, the Gemara says, "Nami tivdok be bididei." So why do we not require the woman to go do the similar checks on her prospective chosen, right? The guy that wants to marry her, so he has to go do all the checking out on her side of the family to make sure there's no psul, no pagam in her lineage. Why doesn't she have to go check him out? The e nami tivdok baby the day. So Gemara says, no, this is in accord with what we learned previously. Masai Leil Rav, this is in accord with what Rav had said. What did Rav say? The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Yehuda is his famous Talmud. Yehuda said the name of Rav. Lo huzaruk sheros linasi lepsulim. A man is not allowed to marry a gioris if he's a kohen. A man is not allowed to marry a halala if he's a kohen. But the Bas Kohen can go marry a cholol. No problem. She could go marry a ger. So therefore, the rules aren't equivalent. It's much better for the woman. She's much, much less restricted in who she can marry. The Kohen is a very strict requirement as to who he can marry. Can't marry a Giora. She's a wonderful girl. She can marry the Gadol Hadar, but she's not allowed to marry a Kohen, even though the Kohen's an Amaretz. Kohen can't marry a Grusha. Kohen can't go marry a woman who is other certain types of psula l'chalala. So the Kohen has to go check out the woman because he's very restricted. But the woman, even though she's a Bas Kohen, doesn't have any of these restrictions, and therefore, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav tells us, Lo huzaru k'sheres l'nasi psulim. So he doesn't have to check him out. No, if he's a chol, he's a chol. No problem. She's allowed to go and marry him. Now the Gemara says, you told us in our Mishnah there's eight, and then there's an additional four that you have to go check out for a Levi or a Yisrael. So in that situation, we said there's 12, but we have Rav Adda bar Ava Tani. He learned in the following Braisa that there are Dalet Imahus, four basic women, Shehem Shtemisrei, which leads to a total of 12. Now, as we'll see in a moment, well, that could be in accord with our opinion that when you're marrying a Bas Levi or Bais Yisrael, you got to check out 12. So that Braisa that Rav Adda bar Ava brings out isn't necessarily a problem. But B'mas Nisa Tana, in another Braisa that we learned, that it's Dalei Mos, there's a four primary ones, and it adds up to a total Shehem Sheishisrei. There's 16 in all. Now, we've only gotten up to 12 sometimes. So the Gemara says, Bishlom L'Rav Adda bar Ava, the Braisa that Rav Adda bar Ava brought down, and we turn to Ayin Vav Amid Beis. That's not problematic because Mokim Law Bilavia Ubas Yisrael, because that could be in the situation where a person is marrying a woman who is a Bas Levi or a Bas Yisrael, so you have to go check out the additional four lineages to get up to the great, great, great grandmother stage. You have to go and check out numbers 9, 10, 11, and 12 in our diagram. Very good. Understood. No problem. But the other brisa that says 4, which is really 16, Elamas Nisa, Nemo Pliga, but that second brisa, which says it's 16, well, how can you possibly accord that with any opinion in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah had either 8 or 12. How do you get 16? Kumar says, no, it's not a problem. Lo, why? My Od Achas, when we said you have to go check out to go from 8 to 12, it didn't mean to check out just one additional person. It meant Zug Achas. So not only do you have to go check out 9, 10, 11, and 12, but you have to check out the mother of 9, the mother of 10, the mother of 11, the mother of 12. I didn't have room on my diagram to add those numbers in, 13, 14, 15, and 16. But that's the way you would have to go and relearn our Mishnah according to that second brisa that says there's 16. It says when you add on one more for the Bas Levi or for the Bas Yisrael, it meant on one more pair, the one more plus that one more's mother. So number 9 plus number 9's mother. Number 10 plus number 10's mother. Number 11 plus number 11's mother. Number 12 plus number 11's number 12's mother. So a total of 16 altogether. And that's how we can reconcile the two brises with our Mishnah. Lav Dafka, is there a stira? Now, Amar Yehuda Marav. Yehuda Marav tells us that everything that we've learned till now is the Das Yochid. Zu Divri Reveir. This is only opinion Reveir. But we had learned previously, Abba Chacham Momim, no. All women, unless you know otherwise, becheskes kashus heim ovdos. If you know somebody, Rachmon Lutzan, has a pagam, so you can't ignore it and say, well, the majority don't. Well, this one woman does. So it's a vaday. But in a situation where you don't have any knowledge that the woman has a problem, so you're allowed to go and accept her. Becheskes kashus heim ovdos. The woman says, yeah, I'm a kashur woman. So that's it. If there's no reason to suspect otherwise, so they have a cheskes kashus. That's the majority opinion. That's the chum's opinion. More questions is, really? Ini? Did Rav, Yehuda Amar Rav, really say that our Mishnah is the Das Yochid of Rav Meir? We have another statement that was made in the name of Rav, albeit not by Rav Yehuda. But Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. Rav Chama Bar Gurya said the name of Rav, Mishnah Seinu Kishikori Olov Arar. That our Mishnah is only dealing with a situation where there was a suspicion that something was wrong. Oh, there's a suspicion that this woman doesn't have a good lineage. Then you got to check out 1 through 8, 1 through 12, 1 through 16. You got to go check it out. If there's an RR, if there's a call, a voice, if there's a suggestion that this woman isn't pure, implication being, otherwise, there is a Cheses Kashus, Hein Omdos. So our Mishnah is not a Das Yochid. Our Mishnah is the Das of the Chachamim, according to Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav. So Gemara says, you're right. These two statements, Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav and Rav Chama Bar Gurya in the name of Rav, are mutually contradictory. Man demas liha, that which Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, that Rav holds that the Mishnah is only in accord with Rav Meir, the Chum disagreed with the entire Mishnah, that can't go in accord with the statement of Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav that says that our Mishnah is only talking about a case of Arar. Man demas liha, lo mas liha. So therefore, they're mutually contradictory statements. They're having a machokas as to what Rav said. Rav Yehuda understood Rav in this way, and Rav Chama Bar Gurya understood Rav in that way. That's the first version over here, that the two statements are mutually contradictory. However, there's another version that reconciles the two statements. Ikra the Amrei, no, that Amar Yudam Rav Zudivri Rav Meir. That the first statement that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said exactly matches that statement that we had attributed to Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav. And in fact, along comes Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav, im kori all of RR, tzorich livdok acharel. Yes, that if there is a RR, if there's a suggestion, a suspicion that this woman isn't as pure as we originally had thought, so then you got to go check it out. So that, according to this second version, both Rav Yehuda Amar Rav and Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav are basically saying the same thing. There is no machlokis, and each of them heard correctly what Rav had said, albeit slightly different ways of looking at it. The way that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav looks at it is saying that this is the opinion of Rav Meir, and the Chacham is saying, Kol Mishlos Cheses Kashim Omdos, and Rav Chama Bar Gurya doesn't disagree with that. He says that even according to the opinion of the Chachamim, that if there is an RR, if there's a suspicion, then you got to check it out, even according to the opinion of the Chacham, and there's no stira between the two. Then we go back and assess the Mishnah, which said, Ein botkim in a mizbech l'mala. We said that these checkings out that you have to do, you only have to do them if there is no clear lineage that is good. But once you reach a point where you know the lineage is good, such as if the husband of the woman in, that you're checking out had worked on the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, so then everything is good because they already checked him out. Again, my time would more ask that question, why? And as I told you, ilav de bad kua lo hevi maskile. If they hadn't checked out his wife already to make sure her lineage was good, so 20 years ago when he started working on the mizbeach, they checked it all out, so you don't have to recheck it out again now. 20 years later, the lineage is going back in time, never change. So therefore, once this person was allowed to work as a Kohen, So let's say her paternal grandfather had worked on the Mizbeach as a Kohen, so then his wife, number five, you don't have to check her out anymore, and therefore you don't have to check out 6 and 11, because you know for certain that on that side everything is good. Okay. Then we had said in the Mishnah, if the person had, the husband of the woman in question had served as a Levi in the Beis HaMikdash on the platform, on the Shir Malos, so then you know that that person is a good Yichus. Again, the same reasoning. My time, we were asked why? Because we've already said in the Braisa, Shoshama Yehoshua Miyachse Kahuna Umiyachse Levia. Because the Sanhedrin Agadol, the Lishkas HaGozis Sanhedrin, would go and check out all the Kohanim and Levim. They had the detailed records, and they checked out all the Kohanim and Levim. They were working in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you worked in the Beis HaMikdash, you had a clean bill of health, so to say, and therefore you didn't have to check any further. Then the Mishnah said, "V'lo mi Sanhedrin ulamala." If somebody worked on the Sanhedrin of 23, and certainly on the Sanhedrin of 70/71, so then the person would be considered also absolutely good lineage, and you didn't have to go check it out. And the Gemara says, "My time. What's the rationale?" So the Tani Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef learned in the following brisa, "Kishem shebeis din menukim b'tzedek, kach menukim mikom mum." Just like the basin has to be people of stellar character, menukim b'tzedek, they have to be righteous individuals. So they likewise have to also be without blemish. They can't have a character blemish, but they also can't have a lineage blemish. And how do we know that? So Amram Reimer, Reimer says, my quote, what's the pasuk that supports this? Because we have the famous pasuk of Shir HaShirim, Kulach Yofar Rayasi Umum Ein Bach. You are an entirely beautiful person, and you have no mum in you. That includes even not having a blemish in your lineage. Okay. So Gemara says, how do you know that? That's what it means. Ema muma mamish. Maybe it means a person can't have rachmana l'tzlan an amputation. Can't be a judge if you have an amputation. You're a diabetic in Nebuch. You lost your leg. So maybe not to be a judge in that situation. Maybe it's what muma mamish. So I'm Ravach or Yaakov. No, we have another pasuk. Amar Kora, the pasuk tells us that the judges of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sanhedrin of Moshe Rabbeinu, v'siatzu shom imach. They're told to sit there. Imach with Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? Imach. It means like Moshe Rabbeinu. Bedomim lecha. So those people had to be pure like Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any pegam, any blemish in his lineage, so too all of the Sanhedrin, the 23 and the 70-71, they had to have no blemish whatsoever. I keep on saying 70-71. That's because there's a machlokes whether the Sanhedrin Agadol was 70 or whether it was 71. Okay. In any event, the Dilma Mishum Shechina, maybe that was unique over there because they were all Nevi'im. They all were speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, they had to be of an absolutely pure lineage. But no, a regular Sanhedrin of 23 or 70, 71 years later, they're not speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they don't have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. They don't have to have an absolutely pure lineage. So Amar Rav Nachman, no, that's not true either. Because Amar Kwa, we have another pasuk that says, V'okel me'olecha v'nosu itoch. The pasuk tells us that when Yisrael tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go and appoint these other people to help you out, it will make your life easier, they will be itoch. With you means bidomim loch. They will be like you. In other words, they have to always be for future generations, also without blemish. So therefore, if you know that the husband of the woman that you're investigating served on the Sanhedrin, so either the 23 or the 70-71, so then you're absolutely fine. You don't have to check out any further. Then the Mishnah said, "Call me shehuchsuku avosov mishotri orabim." We pointed out that you're just a judge on the Beis Din of three, so that was enough to say that you had a pure lineage. Gemara questions this and says, "Really, lemeimer? That implies that delo mukminon mipsulim. That means that every single judge on a Beis Din of three had to have this pure lineage." Wait a second. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, "Hakol sherim lo dini mamnos." Everybody is capable of being a judge on a Beis Din of three to judge financial matters, as opposed to Ein HaKol Ksheirim, but not every person is permitted to be a judge, Lo D'Dinei Nefashos, on a Beis Din of 23, on a Sanhedrin HaKatan, Sanhedrin Katana. So therefore, the Gemara asked, Vavinam Ba, they asked, HaKol, who does that come, Lisui Mai, who does that come to include when you're telling me HaKol Ksheirim Lo Dun? The Omer Rav Yehuda, said, Lisui Mamzer, even a person who has as big a blemish as you can have, he's a mamzer. He's a Talmud Chacham. It's not his fault that his parents unfortunately had an adulterous relationship. His mother unfortunately committed adultery, and he's a mamzer, but he's a huge Talmud Chacham. He's a huge tzaddik. So he's allowed to be a judge on a financial matter, on a Beis Din of three. So how can you tell me here that just being established as a judge in a Beis Din of three implies that you have a pure lineage? That's clearly not true for the Mishnah Sanhedrin. So Amar Abaye answers, no. not talking about any basin of three. We're talking about Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, they require the basin of even three to be a pure lineage. Yes, the din, as the Mishnah in Sanhedrin tells us, is HaKol Sheirin La'adun, and that includes even Mamzer, but not in Yerushalayim. Every place else, they allowed that to be the Halacha L'maisa. In Yerushalayim, they had an extra stringency. They said, no, in Yerushalayim, all the judges have to be a pure lineage as well, even for a basin of three. And this is, in fact, agreed upon. V'chein Tani Reb Shimon Bar Zeira, B'Kiddushin de Be'Levi. He brings down a Tosefta to support that which the Amor Rabbi said, a Tosefta from Kiddushin, from the Brises that they is set up in the Beis Medrash of Levi. We have Brises that are set up by many of the early Amoraim. So the Levi was one of the main early Amoraim, with Avuah the Shmuel, so they were Balei Plukta. So in the Beis Medrash of Levi, they had a series of brisos. Then this was known as the Tosefta on the on Kiddushin, and they had said there specifically that this was true Yerushalayim, that the lineage was pure even for a basin of three. Then the Mishnah said, likewise, if you're a Gabbai Tztaka, so then you don't have to check out that woman's lineage any further, if her husband's a Gabbai Tztaka. But Gabbai Tztaka, Masim, then you're going to have to go and marry into that family. From that point on, you don't have to worry that there's any impure lineage. Going up further from that woman, no problem. Gemara says, my time up. What's the reason? So as I mentioned, Kivan de Min Subad de Inshi. Since, unfortunately, the Gabbai Tztaka is always getting into fights with people. He's coming to collect the pledges. And they said, I didn't pledge that much. Oh, no, I gave you already. I did this. I did that. So there's always going to be fighting with the Gabbai Tztaka. It's a thankless job. As we see, Dom Amar, as we learned, that the Gabbai Tztaka, when he goes to collect the pledges of people, so he can even go into their houses on Erev Shabbos, a very busy time, and go take a mashko, and he go take their vase, go take something from the house to be as a mashko, and as a security against the pledge that they made. The guy said, I'm giving you, $1,000 to the IDF, so he didn't give the IDF the money. So you go into his house, you take his vase, and you say, you know, when you give the money to the IDF, then I'll give you back the vase. So in that situation, mashkin not stuck, I feel very Shabbos, the Gabbai Tztaka is not going to be a popular guy. And therefore, the Isa, the Ika, if there was in fact anything wrong with his lineage, it's like color. You would have heard it by now. Because people would say, oh, that Gabbai Tztaka, you know who he is? He's a mamzer. Oh, that Gabbai Tztaka, he's a chalal. You know, that Gabbai Tztaka, he has this impure lineage. He's an avid. So therefore, if there was any impurity in their lineage, it would have come out by now. As we said, men fight. They fight about, they diss people with their lineage. So therefore, it's a guarantee that if there's no call about this Gabbai Tztaka, this guy has a pure lineage. The person who owned the house, the landlord of the apartment that Rav Adda Bar Ava was living in, was Giyor Rahava. The Gemara will say in a moment, that doesn't mean he was a Ger himself. It means he was Ben Gerim. He was of the lineage of Gerim. Nope. This Giora, this Ushbezichne, the Rav Adam Barava, was a very nice guy, and Bava Kominse, Ihu, the Rav Bibi, and he wanted to lead the community. And so did Rav Bibi, who was a great Talmud Chacham. So there was a little bit of a kitata, a little bit of a contest over here as to who would be the leader of the city. So Rav Bibi versus this Ushbezichne of Rav Adam Barava, who was of a lineage of Gerim. So each of them said, I want to be the one to run the city. Maramar, Ano, Avidno, Sarusa, Demosa. I want to be the one that's, the town elder. I want to be the town councilman. And Maramar, the other one said, no, Ano, Avidno, Sarusa, Demosa. I want to be the one that leads our town. What do you do when you have such a conflict? You go to Beis Din. So also kind of the Rav Yosef, they went to Rav Yosef to ask them, which one of them is the more proper person. So Amalu, so Rav Yosef said to them, wait a second, Tanina, we learned in the following Brisa, it says, Som Tosim Melech HaMelech, the famous rule that you have to put a Melech upon yourself, and it says that Melech has to be, a little bit later in the Pasuk, Mikerev Achecha. He has to be from that person that is Mikerev Achecha. So the double lashon of Som Tosim Mikerev Achecha teaches us, call Mesimo Shatamesim, not only the king, but anybody that you put in a position of Srora, anybody that you put in a position of leadership, Lo Ye Ella Mikerev Achecha, has to be somebody who is fit to be the king. In other words, he has to have a pure lineage, and he can't be a Ben Gerim. Amar Rav Adda Bar Ava. Now, Rav Adda Bar Ava, who is the renter from this landlord, this Ben Gerim, he speaks out to Rav Yosef. He says, wait a second, is that true even Vafilu Imam Yisrael? Is that true if only the person's father is a Ger? The mother was a Bas Yisrael, a born Bas Yisrael. Does your din apply? Som Tosim Alecha Melech, Mikerev Achecha, apply even in that situation? So Rav Yosef says, no, Amalei, no. It says, Imam Yisrael, if your mother is Jewish, you are considered Mikerev Achecha, Karina Bey. So therefore, it wouldn't apply. So therefore, you had Rav Adda Bar Abba who went and spoke up to protect the position or the potential position of this Ush Bezichne, his landlord. So Hilchach, how did Rav Yosef ultimately paskin? Hilchach, see, he said, a compromise. Always the best thing. Always compromise. We always recommend pshara rather than din. When two people go to a court, the court is supposed to ask them, and they're supposed to say, yes, would you like pshara? Would you like us to find a compromise over here? Or do you want strict din? So the answer is always supposed to take pshara. Always, it's always best for Klai Yisrael when we compromise and we have pshara. So Hilchach, what did this Rav Yosef say to adjudicate this case? He said, Rabbibi, the Gava Rabahu, Rabbibi, you're a very great person. We're going to put you in charge of all the things in the town. You'll be in charge of all things that are of a spiritual nature. As Rashi points out, what does it mean, Bemila Dishmaya? You'll appoint Begabe Tztaka. You'll appoint the one that's supposed to collect the Tztaka. Obi Kitsusa, and how much they're supposed to collect. And the Chalkusa, how much you're supposed to give out to each person. The Seder, Meturgaminin, Umaftirin. And you'll be in charge of the Shul. You'll be in charge of who's going to be the Meturgamin, who's going to go explain the Chumash. They used to have a person that would read out each of the Psukim after they were read in Chumash because they didn't understand it. And then who would say the Haftorah? Which Haftorah will say, so you'll be in charge of the spiritual matters of the city, Rabbi, because you're a great Talmud Chacham. Umar, and you, the Ush Bezichne of Rav Adda Bar Abba, you're a very nice person. You'll be in charge, Liayin B'mile D'masa. You'll be in charge of Mile D'masa. What are the Mile D'masa? So these are the rest of the needs, Rashi says, Shar Tzorche Tzibur. These are the rest of the needs of the town, such as Rashi tells us. He says that this would be L'divrei harishus, things that aren't of a spiritual nature, such as L'tur Zina, which the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us, you'll be in charge of the security of the town, an extremely important but secular position in the town. You'll be in charge of the weapons of the town. You'll be in charge of L'karya Pasio. You'll be the one in charge of digging the wells. You'll make sure that there's an adequate water supply to the town. L'igligafa, you'll be in charge of the security. You'll have the gates in the town. So all of these things, these secular matters, that's what you'll be in charge of. And this way we can have a division, the spiritual matters and the secular matters of the town, and each of you will take a portion of that control. So Amar Abaye said, if you're going to get into a fight with somebody, it's great to have Rav Adda Bar Abba on your side. Hilchach, man de mashrei tzur midi rabbanan biush bezichne. If you're fortunate enough to be able to host somebody, you have apartments, and you can host somebody in your apartments, it would be great to have somebody that you're having in your apartments like Rav Adda Bar Abba. The Yodel Mahafik Le Biskuse. He would be a great person for you to go have if you Chas V'Shalom need somebody to help you out. So he's a great person to have to go and help you out. Okay, interesting story. Now, did we carry this out in practice? So Rav Zeira Metapelbu, Rav Zeira would deal very, very, very politely and respectfully with a person who was a Ben Gerim and allow them to be in secular positions of authority in the town. Likewise, Rabba Baravua Metabu, he did the same thing. He would allow them to go and take leadership positions. As Rashi says, Misasek Bahem Lechabdam Ulo Shivam Bisrara. He would allow them to take certain leadership positions, even though they were of the lineage of Gerim. On the other hand, B'marava in Eretz Yisrael, these two Amorayim were from Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, however, they took a stricter position. Afilu Reish Kore, even to be the head of the Rashi says, Memuna al Hamidos, Lashon Lesech Vikor, the person in charge of making sure that all the measurements are accurate. So even such a relatively minor position of Srara, he's in charge of the Lesech, that's 15 saw, Kor is 30 saw. So he's in charge of making sure the measures are all measured out properly. Even that relatively unimportant authority position, Lo Mokme Minayu, would not let Ben Gerim go and take. He felt they had to have a pure lineage. And likewise, Benardai, even in Babel, Afilu Reish Gargusa, even the head of the irrigation system, Lahashko's Beis Hashlochin, the one who was in charge of making sure that the fields were irrigated properly, Pa'amim Shem Sharabim, they belonged to the Rabim, the waterways, Umimanim Shoter Olav, they would appoint this Reish Gargusa, the one in charge, to make sure, Shlo Yashke Ish B'yom Shel Chaver, to make sure that nobody took the water on the day that they weren't entitled to take the water. They would have to divide up the water. Okay, on Monday you irrigate the field, on Tuesday you irrigate the field, on Wednesday you irrigate your field, and they would have to have a person in charge of this. So even such a relatively minor position of in Nardai, they didn't appoint a Ben Gerim to such a position. Maritinius tells us, Rav Yosef Omer, Af Mishoy V'chule, Rav Yosef says that even a person was an aide, that's the gear so we had the Mishnah, or if he was just listed as one of the Dayanim in this place called Yeshana, which was near Tzipari, so then that was also proof of good lineage. Again, Gemara says, my timer. Why is this true? Because daike umachtime, before they allowed you to be either the witness or the judge, they would check you out. And therefore, if you were listed there as being a witness on a document in that area, or like the Gears of Rashi, that you were listed as being a judge, so then you're already checked out, and therefore you don't have to check any further, similar to all the other things. Then the Mishnah concluded, Rabbi Chanina ben Tigla said that if you were one of the chayalim, if you were Muchtav bistratya shel melech, so then also you didn't have to go check out that person's lineage. So what is this referring to? So I'm reviewed Amar Shmuel b'chayalo shel Beis David. As I mentioned, this is talking about army members. If you were in the army of Beis David, whoa, you obviously had a great lineage. Amar Yosef, where do we get this from? Omai Kro, what's the pasuk? Because the pasuk tells us from Divrei Hayamim, it says v'syachsam batzava b'milchama. They would always make sure that they had people of pure lineage. They knew their yichus in the army of David HaMelech. Why? The time of Mai? Because Amar Yudam Rav, he says a beautiful thing. Kidei shitei zuchusan uzchus avosu nesayitun. The soldiers are successful because of the zchusim that they have, the zchusim that Klai Yisrael has. And therefore, the more zchusim we have, the better. And the more pure their lineage, the more that their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents were careful in making sure that the marriages were 100% kosher and that we didn't allow psul to come into the lineage. So the more the zchus of the person and their parents, so therefore, the better the soldiers will be in their battles. They'll be successful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that all of our soldiers, all the Kol Chasei Bitachon should be successful in all of their battles without any loss of life and B'ezus Hashem without any injuries. Now the Gemara says, is that really true, that nobody in David HaMelech's army was a guy, didn't have a pure lineage? What about Ba'ika Tzelek Ha'amoni? The Navi in Shmuel Beis tells us that David had a soldier in his army, Tzelek Ha'amoni. Doesn't that imply, my love, the Asim Yamon, that he was a guy? So how could David have pure lineage if he allowed Goyim to be in his army? The Gemara says, no, the Asim Yamon. He came from Amon, but he was a Jewish person. He wasn't a ger. He was a Jewish person. He was known as Selek Amoni, like they say, Ruchaim Volozhiner, right? Ruchaim wasn't a native Volozhiner from a guy point of view. He was a Yid who came from Volozhiner. So this Selek was a Yid who came from Amon. What about Va'ika Uriah Hachiti? My love, the Osi Mechais, wasn't he a ger who came from the Chitim? So Gemara says again, same answer. Lo, the Osi Mechais. He came from Chais, but he was a Yid who was born in Chais. The Gemara says, wait a second, you can't give me the answer for the next one. But Iko Itai Hagiti, what about Itai Hagiti, a famous soldier in David's army? The Chitema Hochanami, the Yosef Begeis, no, he was a Yid who came from Gas, and that's why he was known as Itai Hagiti. That can't be, because Vamar Rav Nachman taught us, Itai Hagiti Ba Ubitla. There was an Avodah Zarah that David had captured, and Itai, who was a guy, so he was able to be Mevatel. A Yid can't be Mevatel in Avodah Zarah, but a guy can be Mevatel Azara, and this person, Itai Hagiti, was Mevatel this Avodah Zarah, and David was able to get Hanah from it. So clearly he was a guy. So Gemara says, furthermore, Va'od Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, that we know that there were guys in David's army. Arba Meos Yoladim Ha'ilolu David, that there were 400 children. That doesn't mean literally to David, it means to his soldiers. Zukulam B'nei Yifas Torah Hayu. There were children from the Yifas Torah, the famous dinner of Yifas Torah in the battle, in the heat of the battle. They were allowed to take these women to eventually be their wives with all of the din in there. Kodesh Baruch Hu put this din in the Torah because of the Yetzirah of a person. And in the battle, they could end up wanting to do certain things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in a permissible way, but in a very difficult permissible way. So this would be able to tame their tivus. In any event, there were 400 such soldiers of David's army who did eventually have a wife that was of Yifas Torah. And they had children from the Yifas Torah. V'chulam istakrim kume. They all cut the hair in the way that the goyim cut the hair. Magadim blorius hayu. And they would have these like ponytails or these mohawk type of haircuts that the goyim would have. V'chulam yoshim b'kronios shelzov. They would sit in these gold in carriages, and they would lead the front of the army of David HaMelech. The Hainim Baliyeh Grofim Shel Beis David. They were the strong-armed soldiers of David HaMelech. This would, the Ben Yehuda brings down, this would especially put the fear of the armies that they would march against and fear into those armies, because they say, hey, listen, those guys don't look like Jews. They look like us. They look like Goyim. They were B'nei Yifas Torah. They were the wives of the soldiers. They used to bring their wives out to battle to make them fight better, because they knew if they lost, their wives would be taken. So they said, look, these are previous victories that the Jewish people had over us, and it would put fear into their eyes. So in any event, you see that David HaMelech certainly had non-Jewish soldiers in his army. or gerim in his army. So how can you tell me that yichus is purely is pure? So Gemara says no. Be the azli va'usei alma. No, they were just put up there to go scare the people, but they weren't actually fighting. When it came to the actual fighting, so then David wanted to rely upon the best zechusim possible of the soldiers and their holy parents and their holy grandparents. And be'ezus Hashem, this is a great way to conclude the shir today. Hakadosh Baruch Hu should help protect all of our kochos of bitachon in Eretz Yisrael. And be'ezus Hashem, all of our zechusim, we should do extra zechusim to keep them safe. B'mehera b'yamei. They should return all safely without any injuries and with the Shavuyim. Have a great Shabbos.